More birdseed. No, more birdseed.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, good input. Thanks, Al. Okay, moving on to slide 610 of the CERT. It's titled CERT Mobilization. It says, CERT takes care of themselves, their families, their homes, and their neighbors. Well, we've seen that as well. You know, don't do anything that jeopardizes yourself, and be sure everything's secure at home before you make yourself available. What do you know? They have staging areas. Now, we could very well help them by providing communications in the form of a staging net. I think that's it for slide 610. Slide 611, rescuer safety. Now, again, emphasis on safety. I found it very interesting that if it's perceived that there is very heavy damage, it says here, for heavy damage, no rescuing.
Don't go in.
Don't go in.
That's not a safe place to go in.
Okay. What SAL level is that equivalent to for us?
We're going to mobilize, so we would be mobilized.
Yeah, we would be mobilized, but which one is it that basically says, okay, you're on your own. Do whatever you can do to help.
That's six.
Four or five.
That's the, that's six.
Six?
Just before recovery. It's disaster. Yeah, level is disaster. Okay, then they talk about moderate damage. And it's interesting, they highlight the difference between moderate damage is and light damage is
what to do.
What they do, right. They locate, triage, and evacuate people if it's moderate. If it's light, they not only locate and triage, but they don't do any evacuations, apparently. They continue to size up how big, how bad, and document it. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Alan?
Yeah.
From your class?
Yeah, they put big X's on the doors or the wall or something like that and say, we've been here, this is the day, nobody here, like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, don't they put a single slash that they've gone into the building, and when they come out, they finish it off with the X?
Right.
So people can look at the door and know, hey, there might be a CERT member inside.
Right.
That's interesting. And how did Wayne tell us to go through our checklist as far as checking things off? Single slash, I need this item, making it into an X if I've confirmed it, that it's in my go kit. Kind of a interesting parallel there. 6-12. Document situation status, incident location, access routes. To me, that sounds like similar to the things we would do during a travel net. Documenting what the circumstances are in the area. Okay. They're emphasizing on slide 613, write everything down. What does that remind you of?
214.
Steno pad. It's more of a legal pad than a pen.
We could improve this presentation by telling them to use an image of a steno pad. Actually, it looks like it is a steno pad, come to think about it. Okay.
Actually, it's a legal pad.
It's a legal pad, yeah. They write bigger. Okay. Slide 614, we're getting, now we go through a sequence here, and I was interested where the command post of what the deliverable it was in each one of these pictures. So on slide 615, the command post is incident assignment tracking log. So obviously they're tracking assignment of personnel. Then on 616, I skipped one. Okay, and then they talk about the forms that they're using on 614. But my sequence is off here. Oh well. Okay, jumping to 616, we see that I don't know where 615 went. But anyway, the first thing that happened was after the command post identifying incident assignments and tracking log is that the arriving CERT volunteers provide damage assessments. Mm-hmm. It occurred to me, we're faster. We don't wait until we arrive on scene to specify what. Okay, thank you. Well, actually, it jumped from 6:15. Okay, 6:15 to 6:16. But anyway, the emphasis here on 6:16 is arriving CERT volunteers provide damage assessments, and then the personnel sign in. Personnel resources sign in. And what form is that we use?
211.
ICS?
211.
The 211.
Yeah.
And they use it.
Here that the CERT volunteers can self-mobilize. They don't have to wait to be told to leave like we have to wait. They're more informal. They just want to do it and they can show up. So.
Mm. And I think it's more like a windshield survey. They're on their way to checking in. Mm. And they're looking around while they're at it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's the way I look at it.
Okay. Okay, the good
so
idea.
So they are faster than we are because we got to wait to be mobilized because we're racist.
Ah.
Paul, call us up. Come on.
Yeah.
Right?
Although we, Mr. Vejo, are Aries as well. So we had this discussion about the earthquake, the QuakeNet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is we could mobilize a QuakeNet under Aries before we get authorization from our incident commander or emergency coordinator to mobilize. Mm. And it might be very nice to provide him intelligence before he asks for it. Okay, moving on to 617. 617, the functional teams get an incident briefing. Well, that's equivalent to our field IAP, incident action plan. Then on 618, victim treatment area record. It seemed to me that I was trying to draw a parallel there. The only thing I could think of is our ICS 213, is that where we're documenting traffic, they're documenting how severe.
Well, they're doing triage on people.
Yeah, they're doing triage on people. Okay. Yeah.
That's a totally different thing.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what you're talking about is triage. Okay, and then the last graphic is dealing with equipment. Okay, that's equivalent to our ERD. And last but not least, communications, logging all communications. And that takes me back to what was the ICS form that we used to log all of our messages, in the EOC.
The message form.
And we call it the message log. But I bet you there's an ICS form. We'll have to research that. Okay.
There is a ZR one. And it didn't seem too functional for us.
Okay, so enough talking about CERT. Remember, we were on slide 12 of our actual course, course 242. We're back to slide 12. And the next items, preparation activities, is referring to the ZR2F position description guide and the ZR2F position task book. So let us now move on to slide number 13. Why do we have to have a position description guide? Well, as you can see on the slide, it documents standardized positions, highlights home duty, home unit and incident duties and responsibilities, highlights standardized prerequisites and standardizes resource requirements. So with that, why don't we take a look at the PDG, which is one of the handouts. It happens to be the little one, the little two-pager. Okay, there's a lot of reading here. And so I'm just going to highlight what I see is this is a good review for all of the course material we've gone through in the prior courses, and it categorizes those things that we do at home as far as, for example, our go kits and the checklists to be sure they're complete, participating in or conducting different training sessions. You can see on page 2 of 4 of this handout that under home unit there are pre-departure safety operation items. And again, it talks about completing an activation checklist. It talks about obtaining a mobilization code. And you can read down through all this. Number 15, conducting the vehicle safety inspection prior to departing. And then there are in-transit safety guidelines. And of course, we hear that when Charlie is running the travel net for us, that seat belts are in order and that we should not put the pedal to the metal and stay within speed limit. Obey posted speed limit and traffic laws. On the page 3 of 4 is a good summary of what we've talked about as far as what we do when we're at the incident. This would include staging areas. Again, there's a lot here, and you can just read down through it. So I would suggest maybe going through this at your leisure, and again evaluating on a scale 1 to 5, which areas you feel really familiar with, and which areas perhaps you need to go back to one of our prior courses that are again out on public.mvracies.org. Okay, so we're now back to the ZRICS slide 14. And this one talks about why do we want to consider a position task book. Now, frankly, I think this might be a little bit overkill for us. But let's take a look at it. The emphasis with the position task book